Hi friends, welcome to the Mama.Wife Life Podcast. I'm your hostess Brittany, and each week we'll be gabbing, bragging, and unpacking about life. So grab yourself a drink, get yourself comfortable, and get ready to be inspired. Welcome everybody. So this episode is about sleep divorce. My husband is here.
Hello.
So we have been sleep divorced for almost 3.5 years because
4 years,
we were sleeping in the same bed up until we had our first, and we came home, and I think you tried to sleep with us for about a month because you have such a hard time sleeping to begin with because you're always like tossing and turning and waking up, and then having me tossing and turning with a baby and that's crying and doing all this stuff, you were getting no sleep at all.
No, very true. It was a tough transition, I think, because I enjoyed sharing the bed with my wife, absolutely. But when we had the first boy, we had Mason, it was hard to get some sleep because he was so demanding. And the bed space, estate was so used up that, and Brittany was getting upset because she was rolling into me and like she didn't have any space to roll over with the kids. So I'm like, okay, I'll go sleep on the couch. And so it just became that way. It just became this regular function of like,
yeah, like it's not like we had a, like a discussion like, okay, well you're gonna sleep there and I'm, it just kind of, it just naturally happened. And he commutes to work, well he commuted to work, so he was up at like 7:30, he'd be gone, he wouldn't be home until 9 o'clock, and so
later sometimes,
yeah. And so really the logistics of him having no sleep and then having to drive a car and go to work, it was just not realistic and or safe for him.
But it became like a habitual thing because of my hours were so different from Brittany's hours with the kids, right?
Well, yeah, like so how many times would you come home and we would barely even see each other? Like there'd be 3 or 4 days where we would see you in the morning for like coffee and breakfast, and then you would come home at 9 o'clock and I would have put the kids to bed, and then I end up passing out, and then I don't see you until the next morning.
True, yeah.
Right?
True.
And then, of course, you're not going to come into the bedroom when we're all sprawled out on the bed and be like, excuse me, pardon me, can you move over?
No, true. It's very true. But you're also a very light sleeper, right? And so, and the kids are too. So when I would get home from work and you guys were already in bed after dinner and stuff like that, it was regular for a long time. That's how it was working, because I would get home so late and you guys didn't sleep. So I wasn't going to open the door to crawl into bed and wake you up or risk waking up the baby, because sleep was at a premium at that point, because a baby sleeping or you sleeping, it was a tough thing.
It was a matter of me being happy and me not being happy.
Right. So I sucked it up and took the couch, right? And it was that way for a while. And then our second boy came and it was the same concept. So I just went into default mode and I was like, okay.
Well, like, so with our first, I found he was a little, like when you compare the two babies, like our first was a little bit like, I felt like he was more cranky and more clingy, and whereas our second, he was just such an easy baby. Whereas I remember being a first-time mom and having everyone trying to like, you should put him in a bassinet, and my anxiety was so bad I could not sleep with him in a bassinet, right? And so having him in bed was like, and it had to be a thing because I was not waking up to get out of bed to go breastfeed him.
Well, in my mind, co-sleeping was more important. Like co-sleeping is better, I think, in my mind, for your kids than sticking him in a bassinet or like a pack and play to have him sleep, because they have that direct connection with mom. And the direct connection with the breast milk and all the rest of it, like on demand kind of thing. It makes them more well-rounded, I think, well, in terms of like,
It's not even that. It's just that because they don't fully wake up, they end up getting more sleep, right? And I guess there's a term like attachment parenting. And like we do that in a very loose manner because like I baby wear and I breastfeed and I co-sleep, and I parent kind of like that, but I'm not like hardcore attachment parenting.
No, for sure. Maybe some of that's my thinking as well. I maybe overthink it a bit because I don't want to interrupt any possibility of them sleeping through the entire night. If I walk in the room and they wake up, then I feel like an asshole because it'll take them forever, take her forever to put him back to sleep, either Mason or Bronson, which is tough.
I'd get so mad.
So I would rather just suck it up and like stick it out in the couch and let them sleep to get the maximum amount of sleep that we can get out of that evening, I guess. So, but it becomes habit, I guess. It becomes habitual to some extent, right? You develop routines as a parent. And so in my mind, the kid sleeping and the wife sleeping is more important than my own personal comfort. Yeah, I'd rather sleep in bed, for sure.
It's a lot of people would say, yeah, well then, what does your husband do? Like, he might be sleeping in a different part of the house, but there's been times where I've been sick and I've needed Tom's help, and I will call for him, and he comes and he helps me. If the kids are sick or if I've been sick, he's there. So it's not that he just gets to check out and go hide and not be involved, because when I need him, yes, he obviously doesn't like the rude awakening, but when I come out, I'm like, Dad, get up!
It's a different bag. It's not like there's no interest in like sleeping with my wife. That's not true. That's not even the case. I would love to, but it's from a guy's perspective, trying to fix things or make things easier for your wife, I guess, when your kids don't sleep and your wife doesn't sleep and I toss and turn 30 times a night.
For everybody.
Yeah, it's hard, right? So I suck it up, whatever. The couch is...
We have other beds in the house, to be clear, but he always ends up on the couch. And it's because he likes to fall asleep with the TV on. And that's another thing, is I sleep with sometimes, a white noise on.
Sometimes. I've learned to turn the TV off at night.
No, but I'm saying you like to watch a show. He falls asleep to like war documentaries or thunderstorm just documentaries, things. No, yeah. It's like bombs going off. And you're like, oh, I just can't wait to go sleep.
Yes, I sleep in a cacophony of explosions and like, just mayhem. That's how I sleep.
Total mayhem. So, well, I was reading an article about how when you're sleep divorced, it can cause problems in your relationship. And it does cause problems in the sense of that you don't get to have those like special moments where you cuddle in bed, or get to have like those like spontaneous, like in the middle of the night sexcapades that we used to have before we had kids. Mm-hmm. But now we have to be a little bit more inventive. And it's like,
make a mistake, we still have those like middle of the night sexcapades, but usually it involves me coming in and saying, hey, good night, love you, blah blah blah, and
or you text me.
Yeah, or I text you, we text. It's ridiculous. Hey, but
you up?
Yeah, hey, what's up, what's going on?
Yeah, you have to
but then we have it like even like right next to the bed. No problem, just get out of the bed, just get away from Bronson or the kids. Get out of the bed and just do it right there and go. It's like it's spur of the moment, like
it's emergency sex.
Exactly. Emergency sex. That's what we do. But when I sleep on the couch, it's not like I'm disconnected, because that's couldn't be further from the truth, I think. Because I don't sleep. I hear like a peep in the house. I'm awake. It's a kid, it's my wife, it's no matter what, I'm awake.
Except in the mornings.
Except in the mornings, yeah, for sure, because it's, yeah, they come down there screaming. I have a pillow on the side of my head, and I'm like, oh, no, they're awake, oh, no.
Yeah.
So.
It's something that we have to learn how to rebuild our relationship, because we don't have those moments when you get to cuddle in bed. So one thing that I've had to start to remind myself is, to appreciate the little things that he does for me, because that's like the little
lots of
like, well, it's like the hugs and the kisses and the cuddles that people get. Like you make me like the most amazing sandwiches. You're like the sandwich man, right? Or if I want to have a bath,
like
and
a five-star meal man. Yeah,
oh yeah, sure. But you just make such good sandwiches. Like, I'm like, can I have a sandwich? Yeah. Right? And he'll just make me this bomb ass sandwich. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it seems like nothing to other people, but to me, I'm like, when he does stuff like that, I'm like that is our love language thing that we do. And so it doesn't matter whether we're sleep divorced
For today, for example, like she wanted to have a bath. So I wrestled two toddlers for at least 2 hours and change no matter, you know, all the toys being thrown in the house, the fighting, all the rest of it, to let her have a bath. And I had to grab two toddlers going up the stairs. Where's mommy? No, no, no. No, 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 no. Leave her alone. She's bathing. She's bathing.
Yeah.
Leave her alone.
Well, because we're sick. Like, we all have colds and stuff. And I haven't slept in the last few days. And so, and I, this is where the sleep divorce thing comes in great. Because if I'm upstairs with the kids and I'm not sleeping, like on Saturday when the kids woke up at 7 o'clock and he was downstairs on the couch, I literally came down. I was like, here you go. Here's the kids. I'm going back to bed.
And walked away. And I made pancakes and we had like a good morning.
Yeah, and I went back to bed until 11 o'clock. And then he brought me breakfast in bed with coffee and berries. It was, and also bacon.
Pancakes, bacon.
And, and then I went to go get up and Bronson wanted to go back down and have a nap. So I really didn't get out of bed till like 1 o'clock. Right? But if he was sleeping in the bed with us and having to deal with like the ups and the downs of all the kids like crying and fussing and having a rough sleep, we would both be so exhausted that we would be at each other's throats. And then when I get grumpy like that, I find that I like knee jerk want to like nitpick at things. And so I find I'm always like nitpicking and finding reasons to bitch about shit. And it's just completely unnecessary. So I have to remember how to, like, when you make me a sandwich, and be like, thank you. Because I'm when you brought me up my breakfast, I was like, where are my berries? You're like, there's no thank you? I was like, oh, sorry. Yeah.
Christ. Just,
okay. I'm so spoiled.
But the sleep divorcing, to that, that's the point of this podcast, I think, is that there are different scenarios, different connections with your wife, with your partner, whatever else. And for us, it was like a learned, I don't know how to say it.
It wasn't learned. It was just something not that we learned. Fell into.
No, not learned. Sorry. Exactly. It was a routine that was a kind of developed in the beginning with our firstborn.
So, because when I... Cause when,
but
when,
it didn't. But it didn't take away from our attraction to each other or our love for each other.
And there's kind of so thing. Many people that are... That, like, don't sleep together. And I don't know why it's such, like, a taboo thing. Like, when you talk about it, people are like, but, like, how do you guys have a connection? How do you guys have sex? How do, like, well,
we find we it wherever figure we can. Out.
Because
hey, if, hold on, refer back to our last podcast about sex.
No, yeah.
It's every second you have available.
Because like you have to be able to communicate and have conversations, because if you can't have conversations and find different ways to like connect with each other, other than, oh, well, we have to sleep in the same bed, then, like, that's a whole other bag of worms and issues that I don't even want to begin to touch. Because think about it. Could you imagine if we couldn't? Because, like, we still fight. Like, we are far from perfect. Like, we fight at least 3 or 4 times a month. Right? Like, seriously.
And they're epic. Yeah.
And they're epic because...
Like, over nonsense, really. Like, garbage being taken out.
Well, it's just because we get so... I think more so I get really exhausted and then I take it out on you and then it's just like a big bomb that goes off. And it's nice because we have our separate spaces. So I'm like, I'm going to bed. Mm-hmm. And so I go to bed and he just goes downstairs here and he watches his show. And how does it make you feel to be sleepover? Because I think that like, I feel bad because I'm like, wow, like he's lonely. Like, that's, like, I feel like you're lonely. You're downstairs. You're by yourself. And I'm, like, and I have the two kids. And I'm, like, the poor guy is just downstairs all by himself, lonely, watching his war documentaries.
Okay, you're going to hate me when I say this. But there are two sides of that. One side of me is lonely, for sure, because I miss my, you know, hanging up with my kids. Like, I do enjoy, like, sleeping in bed with my kids and my wife, all the rest of it, right? But I don't enjoy sometimes the... the anger when it's like I flip over and someone gets flipped out, like, oh my god, oh, you woke up again. I'm like, okay, all right, fine, I'll go to the couch, it's fine, it's fine, it's fine. But the other half of me loves the silence.
The silence.
Silence of the couch and just like just hugging with this giant, I have this body giant pillow? Stuff, no, the giant stuffy elephant thing that Mason loves.
Oh yeah, it's Mason's.
I cuddle up with that thing on the couch. I'm like, okay, put on a blanket, get the body pillow, put on some documentary. It's good. It's okay for that moment. It's okay.
Yeah.
Overall, I would love to sleep with my wife and my kids. No problem. Mm-hmm. But the fact is that I want them to sleep more than they do now.
And I,
so
like we have our 3-year old is in a crib that is attached to our bed. And so the side of the crib is like off. And then we have the 19-month-old that sleeps in bed, a king-size bed. We have a king-size bed, and we still cannot fit my husband into bed with us.
Because you starfish, and they starfish, so there's no space left over. There's no real estate left over after you guys starfish.
I feel attacked.
You should. You should.
I feel attacked right now. What do you mean? Like, it's, yeah, it's...
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous how much you guys starfish. I can't even get in bed. I can't lay there. At all. I have like a sliver, like a 2-inch sliver on the edge of a king size bed with a bed attached to that bed.
But I find that even when the few times that you do come to bed, I find that because our youngest, he rolls around, right? And so if I'm on one side and if he rolls over and he feels Tom's there, it's like he's still, like he falls, like he stays asleep. But because I am only one person and I can't take up the whole bed, that so when he rolls, he can feel me on both sides. He wakes up and he's like supremely pissed that I'm not there.
I feel maybe you should control your you know, starfishing in the bed.
No, maybe. With our oldest, I was able to trick him with like different maneuvers of like putting a pillow under his like back leg and he would just think I was there and he would sleep.
Just Bronson, spray with it, some of your
perfume. Bronson is like not, like he's just... He's too smart. He's figured that shit out. I try. He won't let me put blankets on him. Nothing. I have this little tiny baby blanket that I put on him, and he kicks it off, and he's drives me up the wall.
Yeah, I know. Well, in the morning, though, I would say in the morning, I'm on the couch. I'm always in the main floor, like never more than like 15 steps away from the bedroom if something goes sideways. But in the morning when they wake up, it's always like, oh, daddy, yay! And, you know, mom comes down. And the kids come down. We have a good family.
Well, yeah, like the kids know all the rest of it. They know you on the couch. They don't really know you sleeping in bed with us. They think it's like a special treat when you sleep in bed with us, because the only time you do sleep in bed with us is if we have guests stay over.
Yeah. No, true. Yeah, for the most part, absolutely. And again, that's my programming. I think from the beginning when we had our first boy. Is that it just got programmed in my head, like just sleep on the couch, because otherwise they won't sleep and you won't sleep if you sleep in the bed with them, is what it was in the beginning.
But now it's a bit, and now since they're getting older, I think that we could get away with it, but it's because we got into that routine. Right. Like, we're going to be that old couple that's going to have, like, 2 single beds in our bedroom. We'll, like, high-five each other before we go to bed.
And we'll just pull them together sometimes.
Yeah. Just for those special moments and be like, don't tell anybody.
Is it your birthday? Oh, put the beds together. Put the beds together. Yeah.
Tom, help me. I hurt my back.
Oh, my God. Oh, I have a cramp.
Yeah. That would be totally... Yeah, I don't know if this will be something that we do for the rest of our lives, but I also heard something that was really sad, and it made me feel sad that women that are sleep divorced, when their partners die, they don't end up having a hard time falling asleep because they're not used to having their partner in bed with them, right? Whereas for me, I have the kids in bed with me.
So wait, so you're waiting for me to die for you to have a good sleep? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. No, what I'm saying is that, like, I thought it was kind of like, I never thought about that aspect of things, of that if we continue on, right, and I, like, the kids will have their, because they have their own room, they have bunk beds, right? Mason knows that that's his bed. No, because, you know, I cannot trust Mason to not sneak out of the bedroom, because he sneaks.
Well, that part's on you. That's on you.
Yeah, I was going to say, excuse you, because you're on the main floor, so don't even.
Easy peasy.
So, it'll be interesting to see, because I want the kids in their own room, but the anxiety of them going into their own room, it stresses me out. And then the thought of, what if, you know, like, I also have this irrational fear that someone's going to break into our house, and it makes me feel better that my husband's on the main floor, because
I'll just destroy it if he comes in the house. Yeah. Yeah. No problem. Yeah. Yeah. Hold on. Where's my slipper? I'll beat him to death.
I'll beat you with my slipper. Oh my God. That's so funny. But I have a few friends that are also sleep divorced, and I have a few friends that are not sleep divorced, and it seems to be a kind of a mix. Like, I find the ones that are sleep divorced co-sleep with their kids, and the ones that are not, they don't co-sleep. And so I'm wondering, there's a few that I do know that I tell them that they just love each other so much that they want to be in the bed together. So you would like to say something?
I would like to say something. Sorry, and I'm trying to be, interrupt and whatnot. But I think that I love you insanely. And it's at this point, because co-sleeping, I think, is valuable at this stage in the game. It's very valuable. And I'm willing to trade off my own sleep at this point because of your sleep habits, their sleep habits and whatnot are very, very different than, or conflicting rather, than mine. So, because I toss and turn, I don't sleep straight.
So, co-sleeping is a huge thing in Southern Europe, Asia, Africa, Central and South America. Mm-hmm. But here, we put babies in a different room.
Mm-hmm.
When people have bring up this, because like, it kind of goes hand in hand when you, like, for us, right? And I'm like, okay, but we're adults, and we don't like to sleep by ourselves. So why would my little baby that's, like, super tiny want to sleep in a room all by themselves? They're so, right? Like, we are animals. We're humans, but we're animals. And we all, like, we want to feel comfortable and, like, comforted by our parents or whomever, right? Mm-hmm. And so I find it interesting that here, in this side of the world, a lot of people frown upon it, and they kind of, like, make you feel shitty about the whole thing.
Well, I think that, from my perspective, to take apart, like, my sleeping on the couch versus sleeping in a bed, I think, I would rather sleep in a bed, 100%, 1,000%. And there were times in the beginning when you would get up with the kids.
Yeah.
And I'll get up from the couch and go lay in the bed because the bed is far more comfortable. And I would rather sleep with my kids and my wife in bed. No question. However, the value of my wife and kids sleeping is more important to me than my own personal comfort, I think, at that point. I'd rather sleep in the couch. Yeah, it's not as good as a king-size bed for sure. Absolutely. But they get some sleep. They get more sleep than if I'm in bed with them. It's different because it's sacrifice, I guess, to some extent. In the male mind, you're fixing things. So you fix it by sleeping on the couch. So they sleep.
Well, also, like, I think that I have made a point of, because I stay home with the kids, that I've kind of allotted the responsibility for myself to do a lot of the nighttime stuff and not put the expectation onto you, because expectation is like the mother of disappointment. So if I'm always having to be like, you have to do this, you have to do that, like, sometimes you're tired, you work, you go do things, right? And so I've kind of gotten used to being the one to do all that stuff. So now when he tries to be helpful, I'm like, no, it's enough. It's fine. It's fine. I have it. And he's like, I'm trying to be helpful. I don't need your help. I don't need your help. It's fine. I got it. And he's like, why are you being so mean? I'm like, I'm not being mean. I'm used to doing everything by myself. So I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, but it is what it is.
Well, it's up and down, because my hours of my involvement with work and all the rest of it and home as well is, I can be home, like an hour before.
Yeah.
Bedtime, and sometimes like 2 hours after. It depends. But when I get home before bedtime, I want to be involved. But it's hard because
Brittany stuff, right? Like
with
all the bathing and
teeth whatnot. Brushing and all the rest of it. And,
so how do you feel that we reconnect and build a friendship? Because we talk a lot about being parents and stuff like that. But what could we do to help build our friendship? Because I don't know if how like have a friendship. We have a strong relationship, but like
friendship
part. Yeah, because like we don't really do like friend stuff, and I think that's something that we have to
work on. Well, it's hard because we have to like work around kids' schedules, their routines, your routine, my routine, So there are literally at least three routines that we have to work around.
Yeah. Well, and they're all different. I try my best to remind myself to praise you and not like, because everyone likes to have like a
pat on the back, right? I have to remember the same thing because I assume sometimes, I just assume things sometimes.
You'll assume that I'm trying, that what I'm saying is something way over here and I'm just literally not saying that. I'm just saying what I'm saying, right? But you have a lot of negative self-talk though, right? Mm-hmm. And so I'll say something and then you'll shoot back with like, oh yeah, well I'm just all this. And I'm like, no, that's not what
I'm
saying.
I think I beat myself up because I don't, I think personally I don't feel, sometimes I don't feel like I'm involved enough with my kids and their development and things like that. And the truth is, like, you know, the job that I was working in Toronto, 2-hour commute one way each day, and I was missing out on so much stuff, like the development stuff, like they're learning their first words or taking the first step.
You would come home and you'd be like, oh, he did this, and I'm like yeah, he did that like 2 weeks ago. Like, and home, like, oh yeah, that's awesome, good for you. And like, don't want to break his heart. Then I'm like, yeah, he's been doing that for like a week.
So it makes a person want to try harder, I think, or overcompensate to some extent, not knowing exactly what it is. And Brittany does this. She doesn't tell me exactly all the things that are going on because she knows I'm doing my thing and she's gonna do her thing. It's a lot, but it's a matter of what Brittany said earlier, communicating with each other and discussing these things regularly, right? But stress comes up. Sometimes you don't get a chance to actually discuss those things.
Yeah.
But you have to find the time. You've got to find the time.
Communication is key, whether you want to, like, that's like the bones of your relationship, because you have to have a solid structure if you're going to have a marriage and have kids. But like when we started off our marriage and whatnot, we didn't have a solid like foundation. We had like a cracked one, right? We've been through it all. We've been through an array of different things.
It's tougher now. It's tougher now.
But sure, we've come through it.
Tougher in a good way. I mean, tougher in the sense that it's more solid.
We're stronger. We're stronger. It's not tougher. We're stronger now.
It's tougher. Oh my gosh. Stronger.
Anyways.
Sure.
All right, guys. Well, I hope you enjoyed this episode. And we will be back because we have an array of topics that we're going to touch on. And some of them are going to start to get really, really juicy.
We've only cracked the surface.
Ooh. Thank you, guys.